I have in a long time preached without notes, just used the text. I don't know why, the first sermon of the year, I wrote down the whole sermon. Never, like, I don't think I've ever done that in my life, actually, to be honest, in like 18 years of ministry. Never done that. And I'm not saying this is inspired, but I'm saying God really wants you to hear what needs to be heard today, okay? Because our mission is to know Christ, right? And this scripture is where God took me, and I'm going to read it. Whatever my translation is, I hope it lines up with that one. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7a. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts and ears. You are doing something this year. Many, many, many people, because of COVID and lockdowns and isolation and mental illness and the world in chaos, are feeling a move of God. Lord, you're always moving. But many are believing that this will be an incredible year for the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord, there will be lots of trouble. We hear that. There will be lots of people falling away and turning their back on Jesus. But Lord, there will be many who come into the kingdom. Yes. Not as wishy-washy, what can Jesus do for me? But I need to be saved. What can I do for God? And Lord, we are ready. You want us ready. And most of all, Lord, as Paul proclaimed, we want to know Christ. And I pray today, Lord, as we look at this passage, that we would leave here knowing Christ more for your glory, that we might be able to speak of him, to lift him up in this city, and really declare when we say we exalt him, that we really do lift him up in this city. Minister to us, Lord, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start, and the government will be on his shoulders. Very briefly, I think I'm going to write my blog on that. So I'm just going to quickly cover this, and I'm just reading what I wrote. Okay, I'm going to try to make it so I don't read, but it's going to be tough. He came as a king. Other kings, if you read the Gospels, all he did was take this passage and go to the New Testament and look up the confirmation. But he came as a king, and the kings were afraid of him when he came. We got to kill him. He's a king. He bowed to no one, and he answered to one, his father. He said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." I'm going to read Psalm 2 if you want to go there, because this is about King Jesus. Psalm 2, "Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing, and the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, his Messiah? Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. And God says, 'But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them. You shall break the nations with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware." That's a picture of King Jesus ruling and reigning. I'm just going to go through some scriptures. In Matthew 28, 18, he said, "All authority has been given to me." All authority. The government is on his shoulders right now as we speak. Matthew 11, 27, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." All things. John 3:35, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." Ephesians 1:20-22, you don't need to write these down. I'll give them to you. I'll post them. I'll email you them, whatever you want. "God raised him from the dead," Ephesians 1:20-22, "and seated him," Jesus, "at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Listen carefully. Jesus is king. He's ruler. He's Lord. He's God. Here's the question for 2023. Is he king and ruler and Lord of your life? Every area of your life. Do you want to start 2023 on the right foot? Give him rule and authority over your life, every detail, every inside and out, your heart, your mind, your soul. Let him govern you. You cannot call him Lord unless you surrender to him. Okay, point one. He's God. He's in control. He's ruler. Isaiah says, a son will be given to us. John 3:16 says what? God so loved the world, he gave. God gave his only son. And when he gave him, he knew that in giving him to us and going to the cross, he would establish his rule and reign on planet Earth, and the government would rest on his shoulders. And his name is called. That was 700, 800 years ago when Isaiah prophesied that. Today, he is called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are the titles of Christ. Have you ever thought of Jesus as Everlasting Father? Listen to this. Something really interesting happened. Have you ever heard the Messiah? You know, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Those last three are all together. In the Messiah, they sing Wonderful Counselor separately. He's not the title Wonderful Counselor. He is wonderful. He's wonderful. And actually, that's not even it's not even an adjective in the Hebrew. It's a noun. Here's what it literally says. He's a wonder. It's a noun. Jesus is a wonder. He's amazing. He causes awe. Does he still do that for you? He's a wonder. Does he inspire awe? Do you not marvel that God would send his son to free us from our sins, Satan, and death? Isn't that incredible? Jesus is God in the flesh. Doesn't this blow your mind that he who created us would come down to us and rescue us after we turned our back on him? When you read about him in the Gospels, does this picture of God who steps down into such a hostile and lost humanity, does it not amaze you that he would even like come down and say, I got to go down there and save these people? They're doing all kinds of things against me, but I'm going to go rescue them. It causes awe and amazement. Do we deserve it? No, we don't deserve. He walks into people's lives offering life and hope and forgiveness, reconciliation and truth. In the middle of our pit, he picks us up. This level of grace and love, you can't even fathom it. It should amaze you. It should amaze you that this Jesus, this God himself, stepped down on earth in the middle of all this garbage. The Son of God, full of grace and truth, pure love, pure light, radiating for us to partake. We could focus on his many miracles, his healings, his deliverances, his sermons and teaching, his level of care for the hurting and broken, the outcast, the despised. The longer you gaze into the person and the work of Christ, the more you say, he's a wonder. He's amazing. And we echo John's words in chapter 1. We beheld his glory. The glory of the one, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can't imagine living with Jesus on planet, living with God on planet Earth. And friends, I want us to get inspired this year. Say, Jesus, you're incredible. I want to know you. And just take one aspect, meditate on his grace and read through the Gospels or listen to them and just stop the tape and think about how the grace and the love and the forgiveness of Christ is applied to that individual. And you'll see this heart of God pour out. He's a wonder. How often do we meditate and ponder the person of Jesus? Just sit, contemplate his majesty, who he is, and stay in awe and amazement. You know, I was, did you know this famous soccer player, Pele, who just died? Brazilian guys are shaking their hand, yeah. This guy was worshipped as a god. They bowed to him. They cheered. He would walk in a stadium and the people would start crying. It was like a god walking in. The Hebrew word here, really, I just found this interesting. I'm just sharing it. You don't have to, you know, get excited as I did. But the word for wonder is Pele. It's like, can we get excited a little more about Jesus than a soccer player who's rotting in a grave? He's counselor. He's counselor. Think of that word, counselor. And if you put the two together, like some have done, some have translated the first part, wonder, counselor. He's a wonder of a counselor. He counsels wonderful things. When he counsels, he's wonderful. He says this in Isaiah, this also comes from the Lord of hosts who has made his counsel wonderful. It's Isaiah 28, 29. What we are talking about is the wisdom of the Son of God. Isaiah says this in chapter 11. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now think of all the counsel he gave to people who he ministered to. Can you just run through quickly in the Gospels? That's all I did. Just go through the Gospels real quickly and find the words from his teaching to the woman who's caught in adultery. Right? He handles that whole scene and he causes everybody to think about their own sin, and then he says to her, go and sin no more. He does exactly what needs to be done in that moment. Think of the teaching on the four soils. It's incredible, incredible stuff. Think about building on the rock, all these simple truths. He used all kinds of farming. He talked about finances and farming and friendships, about love. Everything he talked about, he made it so plain that even little children understood. He was incredible. It says in the Gospels, people declare over and over, and I quote this, it says this in five times at least in the Gospels I looked up, they were amazed at his teaching. He was so wise. It says this in John 7:46. Never did a man speak the way this man speaks. Isn't that incredible? Jesus says this in John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, which means exactly the same as me, so that he may be with you forever. John 14:26 says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Okay? Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit, and listen to this, he will remind you of everything I have taught you. Okay? He's an incredible teacher, incredibly wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul calls him the wisdom of God. He is wisdom personified. Listen, friends. He's still with us, giving us advice every day. Who lives inside you? This amazing counselor. Every single moment of your life, you can stop and you can go to your counselor who lives on the inside of you, and he will give you the wisdom you need for every single situation. You know the word counselor, helper? It means a legal advocate who always makes the right judgment call. Now, just think about this for a sec. Imagine the church, instead of reacting, being slow to speak, saying, Jesus, what do you think? What should I say? And then you release what he says. Wouldn't that be an incredible church? Friends, we need to get good at listening to the counsel of God and not going on our own. For 2023, will we listen more to God and not react and rush out without checking with him first? He is Almighty God. Almighty God, that's pretty self-explanatory. But this attribute speaks of God, especially in fighting for his people. Psalm 24:8, we sung, who is this King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's Almighty God. The Son is the one who calms the seas with a word. When his friends are in trouble, he just speaks and it's stilled. He is the mighty God who has power over death. He's able to raise the dead even after 4 days and he stinketh. He's able to say, get up and come out. That's how powerful he is. He heals the cripples, cripples from birth. People couldn't speak from birth. He healed them. People couldn't hear from birth. He healed them. No feat is too big. He is all powerful. He can defeat the enemy with one word from his mouth. He's never afraid. He's always for us. He's fearless defender of the weak, who stands up to bullies and religious leaders. I love that about Jesus. Yeah, he hates religion. The one who is mighty to save and conquers the grave. He's the Lion of Judah who will return to slay the dragon with one word from his mouth and lock him up forever in chains. And the enemy will be defeated once and for all. He's powerful in word and deed, and he is our God, and he's our King. As God, he knows people's thoughts, knows the future. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In him and by him and for him do all things exist. He is the victorious warrior, the mighty King who leads his people in triumph. Through him, we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers, victorious, steadfast, and fearless. Almighty God is on our side. He's our King. Let him in to fight your battles this year. Can you do that? Everlasting Father. He's everlasting Father. Think about those two words. Eternal Father, the one who always was. There was no time when Jesus was not. He said to the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. He always existed. Always. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, he always was. Jesus is God. He existed forever, eternally, past, present, future. He owns time in his hand. Okay? He was there with Moses in the burning bush. He was the captain that appeared to Joshua in Joshua 5. He is Father God, always existed, absolutely. Is he Father God? The Word declares he's Father God. Okay? I'm going to show you that even more. In John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. In John 8:19, they were asking, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know the Father also. He's the exact representation of his being. They say in Hebrews. Listen to John 14. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, to the Father, except through me. Okay? No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way to the Father. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. This really hit me. I don't know about you, but we spend a lot of time teaching people to get to know the Father. But he says, if you know me, you'll know the Father. Now that should flip our ministry a little bit. I mean, some people have built their whole ministry on the Father's love. Yeah. But you can't really know the Father's love until you know Jesus. Because you can't know Father until you know Jesus. I'm not going to say they're one and the same, but they're one and the same. Yeah, don't ask me to explain the Trinity because I don't know. It's a mystery. But think about that. Father God came down in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the exact representation of the Father. And we believe as Christians in the Trinity that he never left, the Father never left heaven. He just manifested himself in the person of Christ. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough. Jesus answered. These guys are very slow to understand. Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? This is Jesus talking. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He's everlasting Father. The New Testament would never contradict the Old Testament. If you want to get to know the Father, get to know Jesus. John 17, the Father, Jesus said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all mankind, so that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. And he goes on, you can read John 17. And verse 20, he says, I'm not asking on behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's us. Okay? That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. That they also may be in us. And Jesus prays for us to know him intimately. That we would be one with the Father and the Son. Now, we know he is rightly called Everlasting Father by being one with the Father, but we can also go by the fact that he's a Father in the Gospels. He shares the very nature of God. If he's Father God, then he's the same in love and compassion, which motivates his actions towards people. The Father's heart is his heart. Look at what he does. He desires to pick up children in his arms and bless them. Yeah. And he calls his disciples, my little children, in John 13. He desires to gather his people together in his arms like a hen gathers her chicks in Matthew 23. That's his heart. He just wants to embrace his children. He's a father. His love, his care, his desire to look after the sheep for the welfare and success and their progress. He even disciplines them as a father, like he does with Peter and Thomas and Nathaniel. Like any good father, he was full of grace and truth, exemplified in love with actions. How many of us have felt his care, his love? How many of us have sat with him as he cared for us, as he carried our burdens, as he mended our broken heart, as he nursed our wounds and healed our bodies? How many have experienced that? Come on, there's lots of people in here, right? That's who Jesus is. Now, if you never sit with him, man, I've said this before, it seems really hard for men to get up on Father's lap and just sit there. We're not talking physically, but you can, in your mind and in your spirit, go and sit with your Father and allow him to minister to you. Can you do that, man, this year? Can you try that? There's nothing like it. You know, I've had grown men weeping in my arms when they experience the Father's love. They just melt. I've been there. I remember Charles holding me and I'm crying like a baby. And God's just ministering. There's nothing like it. And I want to encourage you this year, allow Jesus to be the Father to you. He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah says, there will be no end to the increase of his government and of peace. We long for that day, but in the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Right? In Romans, Paul says that. The prince means ruler, captain, chief. He's a military figure who has the power to bring peace by overcoming the enemy. That's the ultimate peace, is when a ruler defeats the enemy, the land has peace. Jesus has done that. He defeats, delivers from, and breaks the power of the enemy, thus bringing us peace. Do you allow him to do that in your life? The angels announced the potential for peace with the arrival of the Son. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased. Zechariah, in the same chapter, Luke, or just before, he says, Jesus come to shine on those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of peace. It gets better. As Prince, he has the ability to provide, dispense, and oversee the giving of peace. He's the mediator between the source of peace, which is the Father, and peace itself, so that we might attain peace. Isn't that incredible? He is our peace, Paul says. He's our peace. He is peace. If we abide in him, we experience his peace. The moment we step out of him, it's chaos. We need to stay close to Jesus. Colossians 1:19. There's some really cool scriptures. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Friends, here's another thing you meditate on for 2023, the cross. Look up all the scriptures and meditate on the cross, because what you'll see is there's just more and more that Jesus has purchased for us at the cross. How many need peace? Listen, this world is full of anxiety and depression and mental illness and chaos and confusion, and people are on drugs and they're smoking marijuana and they're using alcohol to try to find peace. Right. Peace is not found in anything. It's found in a person. Right. Reconciliation is peace between two parties. That's what he brings. Peace between God and us, and peace between us and others. if we allow it. I'm just going to read you Ephesians 2, 13 to 19, where Paul is talking about peace between Jew and Gentile. For years and years and hundreds of years, they've been at war. Jews couldn't stand Gentiles. Gentiles were annoyed with Jews. But in Christ, he says this, in Christ Jesus, you who previously were far away, that's the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one and broke down the barrier of dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the hostility. Isn't that incredible? In this way he established peace, and that he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the hostility. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who are far away. That's us. And peace to those who are near. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. Jesus is the solution for finding peace. He is peace. Okay? It's just an incredible passage. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled nor fearful. Receive my peace. That's what he's saying. His continued, what is this peace? This is continued presence in us. It's his continued leading. Just think if we allowed him to be the ruler and reigner, the counselor of our lives. Think of how much peace we would have on every level. That's it. You know what? Four words, maybe five, how you read it. Let me just recap real quickly. Jesus is your God. And he ought to amaze you still. If you ever get bored with your Christian life, guess what? You've moved away from Jesus because he inspires awe and wonder. He's your counselor who can deliver, heal, calm, and advise you. Okay, we can talk about a counselor you go see to help you deal with a problem, or we can call with a legal counsel. It doesn't matter what definition you put on the word counselor, he's it. Okay? He's it. He's your mighty God who can do the impossible to answer your prayers for his glory. Is he mighty God? Is he mighty God? Listen, this is what I've discovered. This is not a condemnation on anyone, but I'm even, you know, guilty of it myself. As we age and we allow life and the difficulties in our frailing bodies to overcome us sometimes, and we start making excuses why we can't do things. Am I alone in that? We start justifying, well, you know, I'm tired, my feet are sore, my back hurts. Hang on a sec. Mighty God is inside of me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we declare that? Do we live that? Like, is he mighty God or not? I'm just leaving that with you. Because I sure am convicted when I hear that. He's your Father who loves, nurtures, and cares for you in every way. Just think about the Father you always dreamed of having. Okay? He's more than that. He's the one who takes away your fears and anxiety, and he's the one who gives you peace. That is the Jesus we need to spend the rest of our lives getting to know. That is the Jesus we need to declare to the world. Okay? The world is desperately longing to know this Jesus. Not this religious guy hangs on a cross and stuck up there. No, this victorious Savior who defeated the enemy, who's reigning and ruling victorious, who is the head of the church, the head of my life, and the head of your life, who's coming back because he's already started setting up his kingdom, and one day, as the scriptures have declared in Psalm 2 and Psalm 45, he will be king and he will be enthroned. He's already there. It's just a matter of waiting for it to manifest on planet Earth. But it should be manifesting right here in your body, in your earth, okay? Jesus Christ, the King of the world, the King of the universe, is right here. And he's waiting to take over and be king of your life. And friends, I don't want to be preachy. I want you to contemplate. I'm going to make one suggestion to you. Here's the question for 2023. Say, Lord, I want to open every single door of my life to you. Show me the room where you're not inhabiting. Show me the space that you don't occupy. And then say, Lord, this year I want to work on that with you. Because by the end of the year, I want that chamber to be filled with you. I want to get rid of the anxiety, the stress, the hurts from the past, the unforgiveness, whatever it is. I want you to be Lord and ruler. Not only of this body, of your relationship, of your finances, okay? Of whatever it is. Friends, we all have a long way to go to get to the point where Jesus is absolutely Lord and King and ruler, Almighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor of our lives, right? This year, we can just allow him in more. That's all he's asking, okay? Can you do that? Can you spend time doing that this year? It will change your life. The sooner you do it, the better your life will be. I could have, probably for the next hour, I could get people up here testifying how Jesus has healed them from depression, from anxiety, from, you know, abuse, drug abuse, whatever it is, from bad relationships, from all kinds of things. That's who Jesus is. Is he there's four things for you, or five things for you. Thank you, Lord. That's our mission this year, to know you more, to make you Lord of our lives. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you, Lord.